What's up? This is part two of Disney movies. So if you didn't listen to the first one, I highly recommend it. But you don't have to if you don't want to. So here it is. Care that their movie didn't make, only made $10 million. They don't care. They're only in it for the sort of virtue of creating the thing, right? And so they have a set standard of what they like, and it does not mirror normal people and regular people, vast majority of people, even like bourgeois wankers like me are not really all that like, I'm not interested. If you want an Academy Award for a movie, you can almost guarantee I don't want to watch it. I mean, I might later and go, oh yeah, that was actually good. Used to be, I would be like, oh, if it won an Academy Award, I'm going to go out of my way to watch it because it's some like beautiful piece of art. You know, whether it's something like Schindler's List or what else won an Academy Award that was like Braveheart or something. I don't know, did it? The Untouchables, where they have like a lot of artistic value. But I find that now, the people that are making these choices have gotten so esoteric, because now you're talking about third, fourth generation artists, and every time, every generation, they get further separated from reality. Or most people, like, that's their reality, which is a reality, but the majority reality, right? Even of other rich people, like, even if some, like, stockbroker, it's like a different reality than, like, than like an actor. So it's gotten to the, like, you can really hear it in like a second generation. You can hear in their interviews, like a Gwyneth Paltrow is like, what planet are you from? Now imagine what her kids are going to be like. Your dad's a rock star. Your mom is a famous movie actress. Your grandma is a famous movie actress. You're like third or fourth generation. Miley Cyrus, recently on Joe Rogan. You're listening to her talk, and it's like there's a disc. I do not connect. There was like zero for me as a human being, her as a human being, her talking. It was like almost zero connection or understanding of where she was coming from. And on top of the fact that, and she's second generation. Her dad was a country singer, Billy Ray Cyrus, right? And she was a child actress, right? So she's been in that world her entire life and has her entire view. She talks in such a way that I feel like there is no commonality. And it's very small. You know, like, she's like, I like smoking pot, but I can't because of this and this. And I'm like, okay, I like smoking pot too, but I can't because it makes me fat. And so it's like, and you're saying like, yeah, but you got kids and stuff. Yeah. But like, dude, you're not going to sit around and get stoned all day long. It's like I put them to bed. Just like you put your kids to bed and drink. Or drink with your kids. It's like a lot of my friends do. Where I'm like, you know, where the kids are running around and the beers are being drowned. But anyway, it is different. It's probably better to be buzzed on alcohol around kids. I mean, then, like, your ability to take care of them, than to be high. But once past a certain threshold, alcohol is worse, like much worse, because you can drive stone. Like if something happened, you had to take him to urgent care, you could do it on weed, unless you got like super stony baloney. But like, that's irresponsible, and it's irresponsible to get that drunk as well. If you're taking care of kids and you're getting like near blackout, dude, there's two things wrong with that. One, if something happens in the middle of the night, you're not gonna be able to take care of it. And it could be as simple as, I poop my pants, I need help. I poop my pants, I need help. And you just can't give it to him. And secondly, you're not going to be able to get up in the morning, at least I can't, and function properly, and it's going to go terrible. Sundays are my wife's day to sleep in, and Saturdays are mine. Well, instead of sleeping in, I go to jiu-jitsu in the morning, and then I go get a roll, which is like a foam roll, or myofascial release and stretch. And then I get a sauna and I go in there for like depending on which sauna I end up at, it's anywhere from, 15 minutes to 20 minutes. Like, because one sauna set at like 180 degrees and one set at like 130. And at 130, dude, honestly, like after doing it two or three times, I could stay in there indefinitely. Okay. I've been hotter in real life in Iraq and UAE. Okay. So let's bring it back to what we're talking about, Disney movies. So if you're trying to avoid, just kind of what I was saying is like, these have some bad messages, but then again, Frozen message is not bad. It's if you think your ancestors are evil and then you destroy what they did, it'll destroy your civilization unless you can do magic. You can't, which it means it will. And specifically now, when they destroy the dam, which is like put this curse on the forest, which traps not only the indigenous people, but all of these people from Arendelle. And they were there for like 50 years or something. It floods. First of all, I don't know how it doesn't destroy the little valley, but it sends like a flood towards Arendelle, which is like a port city on a delta. And it's about to hit the city and like wipe it out. And then the frozen lady comes in, turns like, makes a giant ice wall. So the water like has time to just slowly recede back to normal flow. Right. So maybe they're not. But if you were trying to avoid it, it's almost impossible. And if there is, you have to go to like esoteric stuff like Tyler Perry or Christian stuff. Now, I've seen one Christian movie, not counting like Hallmark stuff, which was like the Kirk Cameron doing Left Behind. Not terrible, but not my thing. Now, I'm not super lefty wokey, but I'm also not super Christian that way. So it's like I can't get down with, like, it's a Christian movie and it's not biblical. It like, I'm like, it's just not good. It's weird. And it's actually the same problem, I think, that you get with woke. What ends up happening is with wokeism, you get the idea first. So you start from, I want this story to tell this message and it has to be done this way. My buddy Pink actually told me that when he took Russian, they had to write a short story using the actual like code of writing that the Soviet era, like writers, TV, they had to use, and had to include like these things, and it couldn't include this. You couldn't talk about this. And that's where that, if something's woke, that's where it's going to come from, right? It's going to come from this like heavily restrained and constrained art, which makes it suck unless you're really good at it. So an example of really good is James Cameron, the guy that made Terminator, Titanic, and Avatar. How many James Camerons are there? Not many. Because he doesn't, like, yeah, those stories had that in it. Like, Dances with Wolves has a pretty woke message in it. But it gets lost in the sauce in a good way. Like, you don't want to, like, bite into a tomato sauce and get blasted with oregano. Oregano and basil and salt and pepper and the tomatoes should all work together to give you flavor. Not, I'm biting into this, like, unless, I mean, yeah, there's some times where it's like, this is like a rosemary themed. That's fine. By the way, Italian seasonings on steak. Okay. So he does it. It has to be seamless. Most wokeist stuff, they're not good enough. So it just comes out really clunky. It's almost like, It's as if they're writing a paper for school. It's like you hire these people from Harvard who their whole lives have been filling out forms. You know, it's like, here's the form you're going to fill out today. You write a paper on this, include these three topics, and you ham-fistedly sludge everything in, right? You come up with some overriding theme and you just force the square pegs in the round holes. Then they get the jobs writing Hollywood stuff. They get there and they're, again, given like this kind of, like if you just let them write a story, it'd probably be okay. But they give them this like, hey, we need all these things to happen. They start trying to pound square pegs in the round holes of these stories, you know, and it ends up being bad. And I think that's the same thing like a lot of Christian stuff falls into too. It's like, okay, we got to fit in this thought, but we can't include this stuff, and it's not good. Plus, it's, you know, both suffer from, I think, being feminine. Okay, so you can't escape it, but it often comes back to. There's not a lot of great stuff, honestly. Like, most of the good entertainment is, like, non-woke mainstream Hollywood. You get out of the mainstream, like, yeah, if you're a niche person, like, there's stuff I like that I know I'm, like, kind of a niche thing. Like, Star Trek, that's a big niche, but it is. I like, there's a new Dune movie coming out. I cannot wait. Right. That's like my niche. F1 in the United States. In the United States, auto racing predominantly is like kind of lowbrow NASCAR is what most people think. That's for rednecks and I won't touch it and blah, blah, blah. And open wheel racing, which kind of was way more mainstream, is now niche sport. It's like... It's probably more popular than lacrosse, you know, money-wise. And it has the biggest race in auto racing, which is the Indianapolis 500. I would argue maybe number two. It's like Monaco. Maybe number three is like Le Mans, right? And number four is like Talladega or Daytona. So you like, you know, whatever. But regular race Sundays in IndyCar, yeah, it makes some money. There's a lot. There's millions of dollars involved. But... It has, IndyCar has zero grip of popular, people in popular culture are utterly ignorant. They probably don't know it exists. So it's niche, it's not like mainstream, it's not mainstream, okay? F1 is probably as popular as IndyCar, but in Europe, it's super mainstream. It's super popular. There's a reason it's got like 90% of its races or whatever are in Europe and East Asia. And I'm like, it could be like, well, yeah, but what about like the Middle East? All right, those dudes are just aping Europe. And, you know, they're like, hey, we can do this too. They're trying to get away from being just oil money. So they're trying to have more stuff. And then, like, if you talk about like Baku and Sochi, yeah, those are technically in Asia, but one is part of Russia, which is European. And the Azerbaijani race, I don't know, man. I mean, like, it's not the Middle East. It's Central Asia, which is, like, Europe extended. You know, it's part of the old Soviet Empire. It's like, I mean, they're friends with Turkey, which is basically part of Europe in some ways. And so it's a European thing. And where the rest of the race is, you know, you have two races in the Middle East, two in Central Asia. Really, Sochi, I don't even count that. So three in Central Asia, right? The Islamic world. But then you got China, Japan, Singapore, and Vietnam. Those are all three are East Asian. Singapore is basically a bunch of Chinese people. And Vietnam, I guess that's Southeast Asian, right? It's just kind of close. But there's not like, there's one race in South America, in Brazil, where it's very popular. One race in the United States, in Austin, Texas. Circuit of the Americas. And then one in Canada, in Montreal. That's it. Three. And they're in three, like, you know, I guess one in South America, there's one in Mexico, sorry, three in North, so one in Mexico. So one for each country, well, not each country, but three major countries in North America and then one in South America. But you've got like, you know, it's like Italy, France, Spain, Belgium, Germany, although Germany's in and out. I don't know why, but it doesn't make money. England, Austria, Hungary. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that's eight. Let's see, plus South America's nine. We get to 11. 12, 1, 2. So, anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, my kids like Disney, right? So we watched Pinocchio. It was a great theme. And then, you know, like Beauty and the Beast, again, has some like good themes in it. It's like, you know, be independent, learn to read, which is weird. You know, you gotta get part of this, you have to understand when they were written. And it's like, I encourage girls to read. And like, I remember Emma Watson did a live action. It was like, she wanted that added in there. And then I watched the cartoon. I'm like, no, it was already in there. The character is like very much kind of, I think it's called anachronistic. In that she wanted to teach girls to read in a time where it wasn't super common for anyone to learn to read. There, you know, it's funny because it has that message, which is like probably a good one. But here's the thing, like at the time, hardly anyone was learning to read. And like even nobility, you can go back and go on Wikipedia and just Wikipedia famous nobles and aristocrats, European ones from, you know, 200 years ago is probably like, but about 300 years ago and back, a lot of them didn't know how to read and write. And you go like, you looked at their signatures. It's like what a little kid thinks cursive is. It's like grubble, scrubble, 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 scrubble. Like loop, 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 line through the loops. You're like, what? Dude, this guy was illiterate. Oh, wow. You know, I think I looked at Catherine of Aragon. I think she actually could read and write. The Catherine of Aragon that married Henry VIII. Watching Spanish Princess now. So as I watch those shows, I often like Google what's going on. And the funny thing about that show is it's like, I think it's historically way off. And they have like a disclaimer like, we're making shit up. That's basically what it says. It doesn't use those words. We're making shit up. Lots of stuff. The one funny part about this is like the king's sister is sent and she marries the king of Scotland to like solidify the alliance. And that works for a little while. And then the Scottish people decide to invade England anyway. And their king is killed. So she's stuck being queen mother. And the Scots are like, we're not going to let you. They're like, she's like, I'm going to be the queen regent. And da 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 da. And they're like, oh, begrudgingly let her. And then she marries some dude. And they find out. And they get mad at her and like throw her out of the country. And she comes back when this other guy becomes regent that they agree on. But when she comes back, the guy she married had been like cheating on her and like was a complete not good. And so she's like, get out of my house. Like, no, this is my house. This is my stuff. Because once I married you, it all became mine. So like he steals the wall decorations and the tapestries. Now the tapestries aren't just wall decorations. They're actually function as insulation. The walls are covered in tapestries to keep the house warm. So he's stealing the insulation out of the house. He steals like her plates and stuff. And her horses. So, and I'm sitting, and she's trying to pretend like she was crazy when she married him. But she's trying to get her marriage annulled. And the Pope doesn't want to let her have it, I think. The Pope doesn't like to annul marriages. So in order to get, like, essentially a divorce, the Pope, has to agree to it. And you have to have some, like, reason. One of them is you never consummated the marriage. So when Catherine of Aragon marries Henry's brother and the guy dies like a short while, like a year or so later, she's like, well, we never did the thing and I never got pregnant. So so then she can marry Henry. And in the TV show, it's like because they fell in love. I think the real reason was the parties interested in that marriage still wanted it to happen. So they were like, okay, we're just going to say that this was the case so that we can move on to what we want, because otherwise he can't marry you in this way he can and blah, blah, blah. Didn't turn out well for, really. So that she goes, she pretends to go crazy and basically the queen mother of Scotland is going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because her husband's like, stealing her flatware. I don't know what's happening. Why is it happening? But it's fun. So, right. Back to Disney and kid stuff. You don't need Netflix. And the old Disney catalog is full of, like, golden little nuggets. I don't know what I can get out of Cinderella. I'm gonna have to watch it again. And other than, like, I guess Cinderella and Snow White are both, like, step-parents are bad. All right, I think that's it. I went too far off topic to be able to get... I can't get back. I can't do it. Thanks for listening. Love you.